Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show, and it's great to have Jarrett Bell from USA Today stop on by to talk about everything that happened in the NFL this week and everything that's coming up on the actual NFL field this weekend. Jarrett, thanks very much. How are you?
Pretty good, Damon. You're right. There's been a whole lot of stuff going on in the NFL on so many different levels.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start?
Well, I meant to, if we did it chronologically, I guess we'd start with the stadium, but we got to start with Chip Kelly because that story, I think, is almost trumped the Rams returning to L.A. It's the number one trending topic in the world yesterday. And look, Chip Kelly's a polarizing guy who is now getting a second chance with the 49ers. Do you think his second chance has a good chance to work, or does this have down in flames written all over it?
I'd give it a chance to work. You know, obviously Chip Kelly is still an innovative football coach, a brilliant football coach who can – coached some offense. And so I'm excited to see now what do you do, Chip, in another situation. And, you know, so there's that prospect. But the other thing, too, is that he's going in with a different structure. Now, the first reaction of mine when I heard that he was interested in the 49ers was kind of like, well, hey, if they couldn't deal with Jim Harbaugh, why do they want Chip Kelly in there? But Kelly has kind of put the word out during this whole process that he doesn't want personnel control. And so that's a big question because, frankly, that's probably what happened to really, spell the end for his tenure in Philadelphia. I mean, of course, we know it is because of the moves that he made.
Jarrett Bell from USA Today here on the Damon Bruce Show. From what you know about him, is he self-aware? Can he take the failures in Philadelphia, learn from them quickly? And maybe the real $64,000 question is, can he keep his nose out of front office business affairs?
Well, you know, the coaching staff in the front office, they have to kind of work together. And sometimes it really doesn't matter who has the final say as long as they're on the same page in terms of what they are looking for. So he and Trent Baalke obviously have had some sort of agreement as they had their meetings of the mind in terms of how they will operate. So I'm going to assume, hey, that can work. And assuming that, you put them in charge of the team and in charge of, you know, designing an offense, it's something to be very excited about if you're a 49er fan. Now, can he learn from the mistakes in Philadelphia? And I think the ones that we really are talking about are the ones when it came down to how he related to people. And I don't know if you change who you are, but you have to become more aware of how you impact other people and kind of how that plays off. I mean, there was a steep learning curve for Chip Kelly going from the college level to the pro level just as a coach, right? Because when you got players on the college level who want to get to the pro level, I mean, they are so beholden to the coaches that they will run through walls and do whatever, however, whenever, okay? That's the college athlete so dependent on the coaches to try to get that big opportunity that so many of them are looking for. On the pro level, you've got guys who are established, guys who have money, guys who have families and all sorts of different circumstances, but most of all, they have some talent. Otherwise, they would not be there. Now, there's different degrees, obviously, but you have to be able to get the most out of your players. And it's not like it is in college, my way or the highway. So hopefully he'll have learned that. Hopefully for the 49ers fans and for Chip Kelly and the chance he may have to have success, because you still have to get the best out of people. So whatever lessons that he learned in Philadelphia in terms of how he deals with some of his players, I think is going to be a key to whether or not he's successful. And let me just say, I know it's a long-winded answer, but let me just say this, because there was so much talk about whether he was racist or not and how you try to make sense of the things that some of the players said. And I've always said it really, at a certain level with him and the problems he had in Philadelphia, it may not have been something that you could put your finger on and say that he was a racist or not, but I think you can agree that there was a perception problem.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the big problem. It's like, you may not be this, but if people think you are, or they think that that has something to do with it, then that's more of the issue. And I think that was the way I kind of looked at it all along, because I didn't know enough of the real details to say that he is this or that, because, I mean, frankly, he's a football coach, so he's dealing with a lot of players from a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of different cultures. So it will be interesting to see how he relates to his players and the other people in the building, too.
Jarrett Bell, USA Today, and I think that that is a big question that hopefully does not follow him from Philadelphia. Are you culturally tone deaf, and might that deafness divide your locker room? I think it was in play in Philadelphia, and much more lighthearted. You know, another thing that I didn't think plays well in Philly is the notion of smoothies and monitoring nutrition. Like, that is the land of cheesesteaks and bitter anger. And I really think a lot of Chip Kelly sitting on this edge of innovation, whether that's fair or not to say he still does that as a coach. But I think it plays better closer to Silicon Valley than it does Broad Street.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I'm going to tell you, I actually did a story about that last summer in training camp that, and a lot of people wrote about it his first year and first couple of years there. But I will say this, the guys that I talked to on the team, they really seemed to buy into that aspect of what Chip Kelly brought to the Eagles. And, you know, some guys changed their diet, their sleeping habits, and then more importantly, kind of how they approached rehab and some of the methods that he had. So, and you look at Ryan Matthews, and for about half the season last year, remember all the injury problems he had in San Diego, he was going pretty good there for a while until it got to November. And that was one of the guys I talked to for the story. And he was so excited about what he could kind of gain from that part of the, you know, the Chip Kelly program. But yeah, you're right. It's a little different thing. Anytime you come in and you're trying to change the way people have done things, people are going to be skeptical. But I think if you looked at the Eagles pretty much before this year, but definitely in his first 2 years, they had the fewest injuries in the NFL, and a lot of people will say, hey, that's proof of something working.
Colin Kaepernick, do you think it's a given that he comes back to work at least a season with Kelly? They seem to be the read option fantasy match made in heaven, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, they definitely need to do that just to kind of see where you are with it and what you can do and what you can't do with Colin Kaepernick, because it wasn't too long ago that Colin Kaepernick was like, you know, the cutting edge quarterback, right? I mean, we know Cam Newton's been there for a while, and, you know, a couple others have come and gone and had their struggles like RG3, but, you know, Kaepernick is a guy like RG3, really, except for without the big injury, who was at one time the guy that he thought was going to really, you know, be the, you know, the face of the new quarterback. So Chip Kelly will definitely give it a good ride. I know that. I would think so.
Looking back at what happened with relocation in L.A. and the big bag of third place, basically nothing, that Mark Davis left that meeting in Houston with, would you like to even care to guess what's next for the Raiders?
Yeah, I get the sense that they're still going to be in Oakland and trying to make a deal in Oakland. I know there's been a lot of talk about San Antonio, given the fact that Mark Davis has flirted with San Antonio officials and visited and that sort of thing. And I guess that would still be in play. But I think when you start thinking about the NFL politics of that, that might be pretty interesting as well in terms of having two teams in Texas, one being the Cowboys, the other is Houston Texans. And that might be real interesting politically in the NFL. There's been some talk in the league that, hey, maybe they can do things to really kind of help Mark Davis, you know, facilitate a stadium deal in Northern California. You would know better than me in terms of what the political climate is there, but it just seems...
Here it is. Let me sum it up for you in one word. Sucks.
Yeah, it's been tough. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it hasn't happened yet. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Let's move on to the field and see what happens this weekend. Look, we could be looking at an all-West Coast championship round a weekend from now if the Broncos, Chiefs, Cardinals, and Seahawks all survive. I think Carolina might crash that party, New England as well. You're going to be in Carolina covering Cam Newton. You give him a big shot over the Seahawks, or Do you look at Pete Carroll and say, that's always the coach who capitalizes on a second life, and boy, the Vikings gave him one.
Yeah, Pete Carroll and the Seahawks, yeah, they definitely are living on, you know, on the edge and playing with house money and all of that. But the thing I like about the Seahawks, and I definitely give them a chance to win here in Carolina, I think that they've gotten this thing together. You know, the Panthers beat them in week 6. This is a different Seahawks team. It's a different Panthers team, too, as you go through the course of the season. But Seattle is more like Seattle that we've known them over the past couple of years in terms of, you know, getting their defense together. The one thing I don't like about what's happened with Seattle this season is how they've given up leads in the fourth quarter, you know, repeatedly. And so that's been one, and it almost happened there at the end against Minnesota if the guy doesn't miss the field goal. So, and Carolina beat them with a last-minute comeback. So they have to have the confidence in knowing, talking about the Panthers, that they can do that if presented with that situation. But the other thing with the Seahawks is that their offensive line has really, you know, really been the most impressive, the most improved unit on their team this year. What a job that Tom Cable, former Raiders coach, working at offensive line for Seattle, has done this season, because they went into the season with that being the biggest question mark. And as it has progressed, they've really done a great job of protecting Russell Wilson. And that's kind of been part of, you know, his resurgence as a pocket passer this year. So all that to say, I give him a shot. And then, oh, by the way, they also have that championship mentality, resiliency, whatever you want to call it. They have some of that in their DNA. And I think for Carolina, this is the big test. You know, if you want to be the champion, you're going to have to beat the two-time defending NFC champs.
Jarrett, always great stuff. Thank you very much for joining us. And, boy, when you're walking around the vast sea of humanity that is Media Row, find us. Come sit down and talk to us during the Super Bowl, would you please?
Okay, Damon, I'll do it.